Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Friday. Yes, the calendar is rolling. This is the last Friday of the month, believe it or not. And we thank you for being with us on this journey. So we're going to talk a little bit about missing persons again. And joining me today to kind of help keep me on my toes, he's going to help me kind of co-host today, is civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson. Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Hey, good morning to you. I'm doing well. How are things going with you, G?
Going well. I can't complain, but like my mama said, nobody will listen anyway. But I'm good. God has blessed me. So, also, Gretel Plessinger with the missing an endangered person's information clearinghouse is on with us today. Gretel, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being with us. Wanted to talk to you because in actually a conversation with Kevin, a lot of people don't know about, and I hope I got the title correct. So can you tell us about what MEPIC is, does, how it got started, whatever you can tell us?
Yes, thank you. MEPIC stands for Missing Endangered Persons Information Clearinghouse, and it's housed at FDLE in Tallahassee, and it's staffed with non-sworn members who provide analytical or research assistance to local law enforcement agencies when there's a person missing. Now, the local agencies contact us and say, you know, can you help us with this case? And we'll help out with a case. The local agencies don't have to contact us, but many local agencies throughout the state do contact us and request help. We can open a case. Also, if it meets the criteria, we can issue a Florida Amber Alert or a Florida Missing Child Alert. Florida was one of the first in the country to have missing child alerts and Amber Alerts, so we've always been very proactive in this area. We're one of the few clearinghouses in the country that are staffed 24/7. So if a child goes missing or an adult goes missing and we need to open a case at 2 in the morning, we're able to do that.
So now, is this funded through the state?
Yes, it is part of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
Okay, so it's an official part of that. So now, I know you said you talk about being alerted by law enforcement. Can you get alerts outside of law enforcement, like families that maybe, you know, have been trying to get attention and maybe feel that they haven't gotten attention about their missing loved one?
No, we actually work through law enforcement, and for us to open a case, the local agency has to be involved. One of the MEPIC case criteria is that the cases also need to be entered into FCIC, NCIC.
Okay, all right. Tell us a little bit about what you look for in terms of when you say clearinghouse, what type of information do you look for and what type of information do you provide?
Really, every case is unique. So we'll take any information that the local agencies have, and we'll start working with them based on what their needs are. One way the public can help, and I think this is so important, is to sign up to receive missing child alerts or Amber alerts. Or silver alerts, Florida silver alerts for older citizens who go missing. You can do that from our website. It's really easy. There's a tab on the homepage that says sign up to receive alerts, and you can do that. One of the reasons we rescue children almost every year because a citizen has seen something and called after we've issued an alert. So Amber Alerts and missing child alerts are really valuable law enforcement tools that we rely on in many cases. In both cases, for an Amber or a missing child alert, the investigation by the local agency has to show that the child is in imminent danger of serious injury or bodily of death or serious bodily injury. So these are our most important cases. There are cases that we really have to move quickly on, and if we can get the public's help, that can save a child.
Kevin, did you have any questions?
I sure do. Good morning to you.
Hi.
Great. Hello. Well, you mentioned in FCIC and NCIC. Just for purposes of folks who don't know what those particular initials stand for, could you enlighten us?
Yes. Local agencies can submit information in FCIC, NCIC for law enforcement to see. NCIC is the national, and FCIC is the Florida-based information portal. So it can be missing people. It can be wanted persons. And other information for law enforcement. So if we have a missing persons case, for example, the local agency could enter that in FCIC, and that way law enforcement throughout the country could search and know that this person is missing.
So it sounds like the missing family is kind of beholden to the law enforcement agency to enter the information in the Florida base or to somehow cause the information to be listed in the national base. So what leverage, if any, does a family or an outside entity have to force these agencies to sort of get the ball rolling to put that information in those particular clearinghouses?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm non-sworn at FDLE, and we don't actually – the local agencies are who investigates many of these cases, so you would want to check with the local agencies on their policies. But one of the common misperceptions is that people have to wait when there's someone missing at least 24 hours before they notify local law enforcement. That's not the case. If you are concerned, worried about a family member, it doesn't matter what time frame, even if it's just a couple of hours, please do contact law enforcement. And in many of these cases, especially involving children, the quicker you can get law enforcement involved, the better.
Okay.
So I see also on your website that you talk about you help with unidentified deceased persons. How does that work?
Again, it's at the request of the local agency. That is one of the things that MEPIC does work on, the analysts there. And we actually have some agents involved in the regions to assist local agencies as well with what type of information that can be submitted for forensics and research information to help identify missing or unidentified people.
So once law enforcement has involved you, then you said with the public's help. So would the public contact MEPIC directly, or would the public contact the law enforcement agency involved?
you'd want to contact your local law enforcement agency, and then they can reach out to MEPIC for services. Each case is unique, and it can be problematic from a law enforcement perspective when you have more than one agency investigating a case. So it's important to have a lead investigative agency, and that's usually that local agency, and then they request services from FDLE depending upon the case and what their needs are.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, it sounds like there could be a logjam though at the local level, which would preclude the information from getting where it has to go in order for the process to be effective. So, you know, just sort of wondering, you know, are there any safeguards to ensure that the local entities, because some of these entities are like, you know, agencies that might consist of maybe 20, 25 officers and, you know, some of the hollows that we have here in Florida. Like, what safeguards do we have to make sure that things are working uniformly and effectively?
FDLE doesn't have jurisdiction over the local agencies in Florida. So we don't have any control over them. They're their own local agency. So you'd want to check with the local agencies on that. I can tell you as of Wednesday, MEPIC had more than 700 active cases throughout Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And are these mostly young people or we talked about the Silver Alert, which we do have, you know, our share of senior citizens. And I fortunately didn't have to do a missing persons report per se, but my mom, as she got older and she ended up with dementia, she did wander off one or two times. And in fact, yes, law enforcement did in one case bring her home. Do we see more missing children, missing seniors, or is there kind of all across the board? What do you see?
It's really all across the board. And agencies can contact MEPIC, for cases all across the board.
Now, do law enforcement agencies always utilize you, or is that just an option that's available? Is it automatic, or is that an option?
It's not automatic. It is an option. I can tell you that the number of alerts that FDLE has issued continues to go up, and there continues to be a lot of interest and in our services. Like I said, we have, you know, over 700 current cases that we're working in MEPIC now. So we are getting a lot of we do get a lot of requests from the local agencies.
Okay. So, for example, if a family does go to their local law enforcement agency, can they request that you all be involved? Then the agency contacts you at that point. A family can request that you guys be involved.
Yes, sure. Okay. Yes, and it will kind of depend on the case, obviously. We do have criteria to issue an Amber Alert in the state of Florida. There are five criteria that have to be met before we can issue an alert. And the same thing with a missing child alert and a silver alert. MEPIC can open a case without that criteria and continue to help the local agencies, but we have to meet a certain threshold to issue an Amber or a missing child alert. And one of the reason for that is, sadly, there are hundreds of missing children in the state of Florida. And sometimes they're runaways, and they'll run away several times during the course of a year, for example, but they're not in imminent danger. Our concern is these alerts are for cases where time is the most critical. And what we've found, even with the alerts that we do issue, is that people will tune out if there are just five or six alerts every day.
Does your agency work with the national? Oh, geez. Okay, can
no,
I just
no,
ask
no,
one
go
more
ahead,
question?
Go ahead, real quick, because she's got to go.
Yes, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, do they have a relationship with METHIC? Okay.
Yes, we
just
do.
Wondering.
We work very closely with them. They're wonderful. And we get cases, not for necessarily for missing persons, but we get several tips from them for child exploitation cases and work those from a tip from NCMEC. One quick thing I did want to mention that the public can do to help us is make sure you have good pictures of your family members, and particularly children. One of the things that we've noticed at MEPIC is sometimes there's a holdup or a delay before an amber or a missing child alert can be released, just because there are no pictures of the child. And we can certainly issue an alert without a picture, but it helps so much.
Ms. Plessinger, thank you so much for being with us today and giving us a little bit more insight into MEPIC and helping us let everyone know that you're in existence, for one, and what you're about. So really appreciate that. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Normally I would take a break, but I want to go ahead and transition into Natalie Wilson with the Black and Missing Foundation. Natalie, are you there? Oh, okay. She should be coming on soon. So we are going to take our break. We are here with Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney, and he's helping me co-host today. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. If you have question or comment, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Helping me co-host today is Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. We want to thank Gretel Plessinger from the Missing Endangered Persons Information Clearinghouse, which is a division of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement here in Florida. So, do we have Natalie yet? If not, Kevin, you had a question, I guess, and I kind of chopped that up. But what were your concerns, what was your takeaway from the information about MEPIC?
Well, it sounds like MEPIC is a wonderful organization for assisting in these investigations and findings of children who, or other people who are missing or exploited or because of being abducted or maybe even just kind of running away. There was FCIC and NCIC were highlighted, which is the Florida Crime Information System and the National Crime Information System. And it just, for me, it resonated that these systems cannot work unless the local agencies participate and they serve as sort of a feeder to these different clearinghouses and even MEPIC itself. And if the local agencies fail, then the process itself is stymied or even it'll fail itself as well.
Well, one of the things that Ms. Plessinger emphasized is that the public involvement is very important. And I would even venture to say specifically the family or friend involvement is very important. Someone's got to push, especially in the cases of minority missing persons. Someone's got to push. I mean, we saw this case that's been on the news recently about this missing Florida woman and you know, her body being found in the Grand in the Tetons, and her boyfriend missing, boyfriend, fiance missing, whatever, and this massive all out search for him. Okay, yet we have missing college students, not necessarily here in Florida, just in general, missing college students, actually from Illinois State University, a grad student. Missing since August 24th, and they're just now, you know, I guess getting around to letting people know, and they just found him. Now, I didn't hear about him until, like, either it must have been the day before yesterday, maybe, on Good Morning America, because they specifically talked about how all of the light was being shown on the other case, and then not necessarily, you know, no one knows about this young man, this young college student that had been missing.
A college student by the name of, his name is Jelani Day. And mm-hmm. I agree that a lot of people had no idea that this young man was missing until this was publicized. You know, but on the other hand, the young lady, you know, I believe her name is Mrs. Petito, Gabby Petito. Mm-hmm. Almost instantaneously, you know, when it, you know, she became missing, this was a national import. Everybody walking knew that she was missing, and there are concerns regarding the disparate treatment when it comes to, you know, I'm just going to say it, you know, white women missing, and because the stats kind of show that we go nuts when white women become these missing people versus anybody else. Gwen Ifill, coined this phrase that now has kind of caught on for a while. It's called missing white women or missing white people syndrome. That's what she calls it. You know, that
yeah.
Like there's this all out alarm, you know, this massive search, this social media, you know, avalanche of information when it comes to people, you know, who are not of color, and particularly when it comes to women. But mm-hmm. like anyone else, you know, you would struggle to even know that they are even missing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I found that Good Morning America story, and they do call it missing example of missing white woman syndrome.
Right.
And we've had it here so many different times in Florida. But they talked about this other woman, her name is Kofi Hill. Paula Kofi Hill. Her 16-year-old daughter, Shamika Cozy, disappeared without a trace in her home, St. Louis, Missouri, a few days after Christmas in 2008. Okay. Did anyone know? Does this one come back up? And actually, one of the people that they interviewed also was the person that is supposed to be coming on with us today, Natalie Wilson, who is the co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation. We had her on during National Missing Children's Day. She said that, according to this, minority children who go missing are often classified as runaways, which can lead to less media attention and less help from law enforcement. I mean, we did have this happen recently with the missing, well, she's found now, fortunately, missing Aaliyah Frederick, 14-year-old. She was a runaway, but she had been missing for over a week before I think the first story popped up about her. You know, I mean, did she have to be missing a week? If the information had gone out, let's say the next day or the day after, could she have been found sooner? I mean, and it's not a matter of whether or not she wanted to be found or didn't want to be found. It's a matter of she's a minor, you know, and we have a responsibility to protect our minors. We have a responsibility to make sure that they are safe, whether they're in home or out of home. But we have a responsibility to because they are minors. They don't have the capability of making the proper decisions as an adult. They're not fully formed. You know.
I agree. And no one's trying to, you know, victimize white missing children or adults and their families. Essentially, this discussion is about equaling and leveling the field in which we walk so that the same resources are applied to everyone and for everyone under similar circumstances. And that's just simply not the case. And I could just see someone thinking that, like, oh, listen to, you know, G and Kevin. Here they go. You know, but, like, the fact of the matter is that, like, in 2020, when you review the FBI records of missing and exploited people, 89,000 active missing people exist. And of that 89,000 person listing, 45% of them were people of color. That's, like, almost half of them. So, but you really generally only hear about just one race. And, you know, of that race, particularly the gender is female. So, like, what is happening, you know, with respect to getting this information out there? You know, so, you know, is it the police or maybe it's social media? Maybe it's the media that's just not putting it out there. Maybe the police are doing their job and the media is just paying attention to, like, what's out there.
But you know what? This is where I guess maybe, too, we need to, let's say, hone our skills a little bit. You mentioned social media, and the thing about it is we can, even before the police get involved, we can put it out there. You know, we can go on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and all those other social media platforms and put it out there, and we can go old school, the calling, you know, the calling tree, you know, you call and then you call someone else and that person calls someone else and say, hey, so-and-so is missing. You know, this is what she looks like, you know, we can put pictures out there. And that one of the things that she discussed, that Ms. Plessinger discussed, was pictures. I can't begin to tell you how I have to now say, hey, let's take a picture, okay, when we're doing it. And it's not necessarily for posting, you know, but it's a matter of having updated pictures. I know my mom used to laugh at some of these funeral programs. If you had pictures of people when they were, like, 18, okay, not a current picture, you know. But you know, and the thing about it is, you should have, you know, I try to make sure now that if we go somewhere or where we go somewhere, we take a picture. Now, you may not see it posted, but we take a picture to have for, you know, for ourselves, but also to have because, you know, people age. You know, I didn't have gray hair in my 20s. Well, I had one. Okay. But, you know, we need to keep track of how people evolve and change. You know, and so when you do send a picture to MEPIC or to the local law enforcement, is it current? Is it what the person looks like now? You know, so, and that's part of also, you know, keeping, when we do that, that should be also in line with keeping a family history, you know, who this person is, you know, and make sure that, because now we take digital pictures and we send them, we need to make sure that also, we are putting captions on these pictures in terms of who these people are. I've got pictures right now that my mom left, and some I don't know who some of these people are, or it's been so long I forgot who these people are. But we have to keep current in our technology, and we have to keep current in how we are documenting ourselves, you know. And like I said, not necessarily for posting on social media every chance you get, but just to make sure that there is some sort of documentation that can be recorded and maybe kept somewhere, you know, safety deposit box maybe, I don't know, you know, home safe or whatever the case may be, you know, or photo, just a photo album or the pictures on the wall, But just make sure you have some current stuff as well as some of the old stuff. So, yeah.
Well,
anyway, we're
going to
take a
break.
Don't
have it. Okay.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
No, let's take a break. I can start when we start when we come back. That's fine.
Okay, Kevin's going to start. He's going to start something when we come back.
All right.
Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Join the conversation. The number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arglic. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon, this Friday afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here with my co-host of the day, Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney of Anderson & Welsh. And the number, if you have questions or comments, is 516-387-1944. We want to thank, again, Gretel Plessinger from the Missing Endangered Persons Information Clearinghouse. I have to just kind of slow my roll with that one, just kind of remember the title. But we did post information about that on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, including, she said, there's a criteria. So the MEPIC case criteria is on there. So I just wanted to let you all know. Kevin, you were getting ready to say something before we
sure.
take a break?
Yes, yes. The fact of the matter is that we can have as many updated pictures as possible or that have been created, but if we don't have access to the outlets where the pictures can be publicized and, like, you know, repeatedly put in your face and the stories that go along with the pictures also discussed, then we're really not going to make that much of a difference. You know, we don't have the CNN, the MSNBCs, or the Fox outlet to just go to the same way, for example, that Gabby Petito, for however she did it, utilized those resources to get her face and her story out there, and she got found. So, like, that's a problem, you know. The fact of the matter is that black children on average remain missing longer and they are more likely to still be missing than any other group of children that are out there. And, you know, and I read the statistic from the FBI in 2020, almost 50% of all people who are missing are people of color. So, you know, I hear you rattle off our phone number on every show. If there was ever a show where someone should be calling in, someone should be talking, it's today, because this is affecting black people more so than any other race. So, like, you know, this is kind of what is happening, is that we're not responding the way that other people do respond. I have a problem with it. I have a problem with it. Because ultimately, when there is quiet, then people kind of take that as, well, it's okay. They're not gonna do anything about it, you know, or it's all right, man. You know, they're concerned about it, but they just really aren't going to react to it, you know. And I think that's a part of the problem too, G. To be frank with you, I think that's a big part of the problem. What do you think about that?
Well, as you were talking, one of the things that has popped into my mind just before the break, and while you were talking, is profile. The profile for, let's say, Gabby Petito was heightened because she was documenting, like I was just talking about before in terms of documenting. You know, she was actually publicly documenting their journey. We went here, we did this, and da-da-da-da-da. And we don't necessarily do that often. So, and I'm not saying this to say go out and put yourself all over social media. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that maybe more people were concerned about her because she put herself out there. Now, that doesn't make any difference in terms of the value of human life, okay, as far as I'm concerned. Ms. Petito's life was valuable, and I don't want to take anything away from her and her family because it's tragic what happened with her. It really, really is. But the fact of the matter is more people, I think, were concerned, like we said, number one, because she's a white woman, and that's just unfortunately that. The second thing is because she heightened her profile on her own. And so when she did kind of go missing, it was probably much more noticeable than some of us. Now, you know, I mean, you would probably almost have to be, I would say maybe someone like Beyonce in order to get that much attention about in terms of a black perspective of being missing. And unfortunately, I want to say the lower person on the totem pole is our black man. You know, that's why I think this young man from Illinois State University, his case was out, you know, I mean, he was gone since August 24th, you know, and I think maybe it's because, you know, maybe his profile wasn't heightened like Gabby Petito's. And then on top of that, we tend, unfortunately, in this society to have more of, I guess, I hate to say this, maybe negative view or just a, you know, devil may care perspective in terms of what goes on with our black men. I mean, even in our, I've noticed for years, even in our black community, that we tend to focus more on our girls, and we just think that our boys are supposed to be automatically, genetically tough, and they can take care of themselves, and we don't have to worry about them as much as we do our precious girls. Now, you know, I mean, there may be a little bit of something to that, but at the same time, our children, boys and girls, are precious, and they need to be protected, and they need to be looked out for, and they need to be, both boys and girls need to be taught how to look out for themselves, how to defend themselves, and that it's okay to say no when you are being mistreated by an adult. And the reason I say that is because I, you know, I didn't have to worry about that with my parents. I had great parents, God rest their souls. But my parents also, my mom especially, also told me, you know, if especially when it came to men, even if they were family, if you feel uncomfortable, you need to say something, and you know, and at least come back and tell me, my mom, you know. But in either case, you need to say something. It is not okay. You know, we're taught to respect our elders, but at the same time, it is not okay to be mistreated by them.
Yeah. I agree.
That's one thing we've got to teach girls. We also have to teach that to our young men. No, it's not okay, you know, to be mistreated by a family member, by a coach or a teacher, or, you know, anybody, you know.
I agree. You know, a lot of times when, you know, our black children or Hispanic children are missing, they're characterized as runaways. So
mm-hmm.
I think the value of the missing person is degraded somewhat because you're looking at a person who ran away as opposed to being abducted. And you look at a lot of the adults, the missing, you know, adults who are of color. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're stereotyped as being people who are or have been involved in crime or violence or some type of addiction or, you know, poverty. And again, you know, their value is downgraded, you know, so they start out the gate being looked at negatively in terms of like why they've disappeared and what they're doing because of their absence. And there isn't this like alarm at the gate, so to speak, to go find these folks. Or to even publicize these people because it's going to provide diminished returns when the media begins to talk about these folks who are missing or exploited, and then you find out, well, really they just ran off with their lover to Vegas or tell somewhere, you know, and then, you know, we just made this big, you know, outcry for them, and we see that really it was about nothing after all. And, you know, but we get that. We get that. The benefit of the doubt is not given to people of color when they're missing, whether they're adults or whether they're children. And that's what the stats begin to show us. Gee, I always come with something in the goodie bag. And
yes, I've been waiting.
You know, I dug up a statute, and it's a federal statute that establishes state requirements for reporting missing children. There's actually a law. It's found at 34 United States Code, Section 41308. And this statute actually mandates that law enforcement agencies must establish a policy, the reporting requirements, and their actions regarding missing children. And in this particular statute, it is prescribed that there shall be no waiting period before accepting a missing child or unidentified person's report. How many times have people been told, well, they have to be missing for 48 hours? Or,
yes.
You know, yeah. It's just bull. It's just bull.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is against
yeah.
the
We've
law.
Been too much. We've been watching too many crime dramas. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Because that comes up
Absolutely.
All the time.
All the time. There's a federal statute that says the exact opposite of this. And, in fact, the statute even says that not later than 30 days after reporting this information that they have to update these records. And the statute requires them to update the records into the state crime information center, such as ours at the Florida Crime Information Center, and the National Crime Information Center. So there is a pipeline that has been put in place for this very reason. But law enforcement agencies kind of like just step aside, and they've been like given a pass. But this creates also liability, because if you can tie in their failure to adhere to the statute to some harm that results in the person who has been or is missing and or exploited, it's my belief that there is some degree of liability that they would have to answer for in a court of law. So, you know, I wanted to put that out there. And if you want, I'll send that statute to you. It's really not that long of a statute. It really isn't.
Yeah, because we need to post that. Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
There are so many safeguards that are out there that, you know, we're just not aware of when it comes to, for example, custody. You know, people are missing because other parents take them from the parent who has lawful custody. That happens a lot. You know, children are kidnapped by their own parents. Happens a lot. There's something known as the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Enforcement Act. And this creates specific safeguards and mechanisms that have to be put in place, and law enforcement has to abide by them in order to make sure that the child is searched for, the child is, if you find them, you know, taken and returned where they belong. You know, you never hear about that. You really never hear about enforcement of that particular law. Unless you're a lawyer and you're dealing with it in litigation and family court, or it may be sometimes in the criminal court, because there are criminal ramifications for a perpetrator who violates that particular law. So I wanted to put that out there for you so that, you know, folks know that there are laws that are governing some of the issues related to the missing and exploited people and children.
Yeah. Now, oh, well. when we got to do our break. We got to do our last break, and then we're going to come back and talk some more with Kevin Anderson, civil rights attorney. We are talking about missing persons and basically, you know, trying to give a little more information because we don't want anyone to feel like they don't have resources and they don't have a choice in terms of how this is handled. So, anyways, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on K-Ham Radio.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good Friday afternoon, praise the Lord. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are thankful to have Mr. Kevin Anderson on with us of Anderson and Welch. He is an attorney, a civil rights attorney in West Palm Beach? West Palm Beach? Is that correct?
West Palm Beach. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyway, the number, if you want to join the conversation, you have something that you want to share, 516-387-1944. We are talking a little bit about missing persons. We had MEPIC on the Missing Endangered Persons Information Clearinghouse, which is a division of the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, on to tell us about, you know, how they help their role in terms of helping to find missing persons. We've been getting insight from Kevin, who's been doing his homework as he does, and giving us a little insight. And so we're going to get information from him and post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. And then at the end of the show, a couple of things I want to tell you about, you know, on a lighter note, sort of. And so we'll talk about that then. But, Kevin, so what – how do – well – this is what I was going to say. Do we maybe need to reverse it a little bit or at least do things in tandem? It seems like, and what I mean is, it seems like we tell law enforcement when someone's missing, and we wait for them to tell everybody else. Should we be telling law enforcement and then at the same time maybe calling up those investigative reporters we see on the news, or, you know, should we be tackling social media concurrently with law enforcement to try to make sure that it get, you know, the search gets stepped up a little bit quicker?
Well, there's an adage: the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Gets the grease.
And
yep.
Absolutely, I think that social media is such a big motivator. When, like, instantaneously, like right at your fingertips, you can, you know, put a message out to thousands of people who are listening and looking at your particular issue. And law enforcement, they can only do so much, and they're inundated, and they know that they're only going to be held accountable for so much. But the news outlets are certainly at our disposal, but we can't make the media cover the story. You know, the media, if it's not racy enough, if they don't see a story that provokes an emotional response towards a person who is, quote, viewed as a pure and innocent person, unquote, then they're likely to just let it go, all right? And you know, it's on us, I think, to make noise, but to make good noise. To make good noise. And I do think that organizing so that there is an approach which is addressing law enforcement so that they understand that we know what the law requires, and we know that they've been put on notice, and we know that what they're doing is monitored, is probably the most that we can expect from the government in terms of, you know, receiving us. But, like, you know, other than that, making a bunch of noise like we had been doing, you know, in some of the outlets that will receive us is all that we can do at the moment, you know. I just, you know, who was, there was a fella, an actor, wow, man, a couple of years ago that gave a story, and it turned out to be fake. And he wound up, you know, kind of getting, you know, exposed, and I think he got arrested or something like that because, you know, got everybody all worked up. But really nothing happened to him at all, you know. You know, that hurt him, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was another young lady back in the day, you know, my good friend, the good Rev, I believe that her name was, I want to say her name was Tawana Brawley, I think her name was, back in New York. She claimed she was abducted, and she was, you know, beaten, and, you know, things were smeared on her body and all this stuff. And it all turned out that it was a hoax, you know. I mean, you know,
Happen to us that way. I mean, it happens in other cultures and communities as well.
But they remember it when it happens to us. You know, you can do a million good things, but that one bad thing that you do is what's going to, like, stick in people's minds. And when they already think, again, that, you know, we're addicts, we're runaways, we're involved in some criminal activity, you know, there's something that's, like, impure and non, you know, innocent amongst us, it makes it easier for them to, like, treat us different, you know. So all I'm saying is that you got to be careful, you know, because we're looked at and judged by a different standard. And it's not right, but the reality is that it happens. Just simply happens.
Okay. Okay. Anyway. So, now, do you have any more homework that you've done for us now, or do we want to turn to other things that are going on other than missing persons? I know you always have something going on.
No, man, I'm going along here for the conversation. I'm letting it flow. I'm vibing with you. So let's vibe on, man. Where are we floating to now?
Well, one thing I want to say, this is kind of on a personal note. I need your prayer because I am running again for my second term with the Orlando Regional Realtor Association Board of Directors. So today is the last day for our members to vote. And we do have quite a few people running for just four slots. So there's no guarantee that I'm going to win again. And frankly, just to say this, it's in God's hands because I'm here to do whatever it is he needs me to do. And he knows, and most of you all know that know me, that I'm quite a busy person. So whether I win this or not, I'm always going to be doing something. But, yeah, just ask God's guidance in this. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too. Also, the other thing – where did it go? The other thing I wanted to throw out there is and I just posted it on G's Power Hour Facebook page, what they call the Global Film Peace Festival. And I may have that name wrong, but I did just post it on the page. Now, and I'm having trouble finding my own page now. But anyway, it's been going on live. Yeah, Global Peace Film Festival. It's been going on live from September 20th and ends live on the 26th. But it is going to start virtual on Monday, September 27th, and will run through October 2021. So I did post information about that on the G's Power Hour Facebook page so you all could going on to this weekend. Because I try to keep, you know, try to give you all a little bit of information in terms of what's going on locally so that you all can at least have some lighter moments, especially as we go through this time of COVID. You know, we need some of those lighter moments. And in the meantime, and happy fall, by the way. I know that there's the whole pumpkin thing that's going on. Are you into the pumpkin stuff, Kevin?
I put my fall wreath on the door last weekend. And I happened to have a pumpkin in the house. Yes, but I didn't. My wife bought a pumpkin with FSU written on the front of the pumpkin. And I'm thinking she brought me bad luck.
Here we go.
You know, but it is in our living room on the coffee table in front of a basket of flowers, a fall arrangement. And if they don't win this next game, that pumpkin is going to be the victim of of a pumpkin pie carnage in my house.
Early pumpkin pie, huh?
Yeah, hey, absolutely.
I understand, but I'm a diehard. You know, as my favorite Fast and Furious series say, ride or die. I'm kind of that way with my team, even though it's been hurting lately. you and I talked about it one time about the way the team looked, but there's something going on at Lakey. Oh, that's the one thing. And it came up, and then it disappeared, and I don't know. But there's a couple of things. There's a concert that's on Facebook, and I thought I had it in my event, so I'm going to try to find that for you all, because if it's on, you know, Facebook or whatever, almost anybody can do it. And then there's a live event, I want to say some sort of food festival at Lake Eola in downtown Orlando, so make sure you do that too. So, Kevin, let me let you get back to your day job. Thank you for hanging with me today. We know we'll be talking again soon. We know we still got those Chauvin people. The former police officers, Minneapolis police officers, right? That's still going on, right?
Yep, that is. I'm monitoring that, and I'm at your beck and call to come back and to give you an update about that progress. There are
discussions. I like that. Okay. All right. Look forward to it. Yes, we got to talk about that and other things as we go, you know, and, you know, we got a few months before 2021 is over, so I'm sure there's going to be other stuff. But, you know, let's keep an eye out on our missing, and let's not be too ashamed or embarrassed or hesitant or whatever. You know, I mean, even if the child comes home on their own in the next 24 hours, we still need them to know that they are, you know, it is noted when they are missing, and they are loved and cared for by not just the parents, but the community that surrounds them. And that's what's very important. So thank you, Kevin, for being here today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you to the CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment and my technical producer, Princess Cooper, for always being there. And we want to thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
He'll make it all right.
God is able.
Whatever you need,
He'll supply.
Whatever is broken,
He can fix it.
No need to worry.
No.